Let's go to the word Acts chapter 6 verse 1 through 7. Today we are looking at Acts chapter 6 verse 1 through 7. 7 chosen to serve. I'm going to read together. Let us just read together. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is an amazing passage. This is amazing. And there was a topic that I wanted to really talk about, which was, I was kind of gearing up for this Sunday to actually talk about the need for leaders, but God just kind of moved my heart around, and then I want to focus on the word disciple today. So you will see that word a couple times. First, in the verse 1, it says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in numbers," and then finally in the verse 7 it says, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly." Multiplied greatly. Guys, I want to say this. I want to just put it out there, simple and plain. Church has to be the place where the number of believers are to increase, but also number of disciples must increase. They are not the same thing. I will explain to you a little bit. Church, well, let me say this again. Church is where the number of believers increase, and also number of disciples must increase. You know, we've been studying this book of Acts together for a while now, and then you see that right around this text. This is the very first time when the book of Acts, the Luke write it out and saying that, you know what, the number of disciples are increasing. Before that, the disciples only used once just to talk about the apostles, right? But here we see that. Thank you that you guys made it. Thank you. The number are just increasing. Disciples there. So that means that now the disciples are more than those 12 disciples. The disciple means that, you know, there are more than 120 people who gathered at the attics to pray in chapter 1. Number of disciples were increasing. You know, around this time, we also see that, you know, the persecution, like I talked about last time, the persecution became a pattern, and the persecution was setting in. And then this is around that time, the number of disciples are finally increasing. And this is a time when the community is growing even bigger, and there's more need for ministry and leaders. This is a time when the disciples are increasing. You have to understand this. There are many needs arising. There's needs for the greater faith. There are needs for faith that will never give up, right? There's also need for more ministry and more leaders. And at this precise moment, the Bible records and tells you and me the disciples were multiplying. You know, I said that, you know, I've been studying the word disciples for a little bit, and then Some pastor, I think John Stott, wrote this. You know, all disciples are believers, but not the other way around will always not be true. So all disciples can be considered as believers, but are they all the believers are considered disciples? What he's saying is questionable, and I come to agree with him. Yes. You know, let me. So I studied the book of Acts all together. So I just kind of went through like how many times the word believers were used, and how many times the word disciples were used. Disciples were used only 5 times in the book of Acts, and the word disciples were used over 30 times in this book alone. Let me just share with you how the word believers were used. Acts chapter 5 verse 14 says, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, and multitudes of both men and women were coming to the Lord." That's great. And in chapter 10 verse 45 says, "And the believers from among the circumcised who had come to Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit were poured out even on the Gentiles." 15 verse 5, but some believers who belonged to the party of Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them in order for them to keep their law of Moses." And it just continues. And every time the word believer were used, somehow their faith was there, but we don't see much action around them. Every time the word believer was used, there somehow the wrong teachings were there, but no action was there. You guys follow me?
Yeah.
But now let's go look at how the disciples were used. And then we'll skip to chapter 6 because we just read through a couple of them. And it says this, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest." You see that? The against disciples. Disciples are the ones who are being persecuted, not believers. And in chapter 9 verse 10 says, "Now there were a disciple at Damascus named Ananias." Listen to this. "The Lord said to him in the vision." You see that? That it is disciple to whom God will speak. And it also says this here that, "But his disciples took him by the night and let him down through the opening in the wall, lowering him." It's talking about the now the people are coming to get Apostle Paul, and then it's talking about how disciples were helping each other out. And then listen to this, chapter 9, verse 36. "Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity." You see the name, the word disciple was associated with good work. And then 11, this is very important. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says this, "When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christian." Listen to that. The disciples were first called Christian. There's a lot more. At chapter 13, verse 52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with Holy Spirit." And the list continues. Whenever you see the word believers, I'm not saying that believers are bad, right? But whenever you have to realize that the book of Acts was written by a physician. Luke was a physician. He was very precise with each word that he used. And he associated the word believer with people who are more static and associated with some of the wrong teachings. They say that you must come be circumcised. They had a wrong teaching, no wrong understanding of what God's grace and his word. But disciples, whenever it came about disciples, they're the people with action. They're the people with a reputation. They're the people who went through persecution. There's clear distinction between the believer and disciples. And once again, I'm just questioning this together. You know, like the Pastor John Stott said, you know, all disciples are believers, but not all believers may not be disciples of God. You know, we talk about salvation in 3 parts. There is justification, there's sanctification, and there is glorification. Pastor Johnny and I had a question, and he about these disciples this week, because he's going through discipleship, and he's been studying about disciples and discipleship, what it means to be disciple as well. And so we had a conversation, and then so he asked this question: does it mean that believers are not guaranteed of their salvation? Does it mean that believers are not saved? This is a legit question that actually some of the members had. Are believers saved? I'm not denying the fact that believers are not saved. They come to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, right? That's great. They come to believe in the name of the Lord. But according to what we just read through in the book of Acts, they're static, right? They're static. But then we see that the disciples are the ones who are, what? Going into motion. They're acting out their faith. So there are three parts about salvation. Is this justification. You are redeemed by the blood, just by the work of God. Right, that's what justification is all about. Sanctification, but we still have this, you know, carnality within us, right? In us, so we are breathing, we are like breathing sin and out, right? So we are need to be renewed each and every day. We need to clothe the Jesus Christ each and every day. This is what sanctification is all about. And then finally, at the end, our salvation will be complete in Jesus Christ when we see Him face to face. That's what glorification is all about. And I feel like that believers are those who went through the justification. Like, yes, they're saved, but what now? Right? Have you guys seen the Have you guys seen the Dory? Who watched the movie Dory? I love that movie. It was one of the very few movies that I actually went to theater to watch it. I had so much fun. And at the end, you guys remember at the end, end credit, they, you know, Pixar usually add a little clip that kind of tell the, you know, stories or something else. And then, you know, even those gangs, the Dory's gang, the, you know, tank mate, right? They actually, so this is a, wow. Who watched the movie once again? The very few of you? Okay, this is about fish, right, trying to rescue Owen. Oh my goodness, am I spoiling the movie? Okay. But anyway, I'm sorry. Excuse. Maybe you'll watch later. But anyway, there's this fish who live in the tank, right? They had a plan to, you know, kind of save themselves, right? It was for them to make really a lot of mess. And so when the dentist bring them out, right, to clean the tank, right? Well, and they. He usually individually packaged them, right? When that happened, the fish were gonna roll down the window, and then because the ocean was right across from the street, so that was their plan, right? So they made a lot of mess. So dentists decided to clean up the tank, and then they individually packed in a bag, right? And then they rolled down. I don't know how they roll, right? But it's a cartoon, so they rolled down the window, and then this is what they say: it finally arrived at the ocean, and this. They say this, now what? They made it to the ocean, but they're still in this, in a bubble, right? They cannot do nothing about it. And then I feel like that the justification is kind of like that. We are, our salvation is in a way that, you know, each and every day we ask God, we are saved, we are redeemed. Father, we see this difficulty, this trials, issues that each and every day, now what? But believers are those who are in staying in justification, confused. But those disciples are now who are willing to go through this process of sanctification. Each and every day, they allow Holy Spirit to set them in motion, and they're going towards that glorification. So I think that there is clear distinction, even just from the study of Book of Acts. You know, just think about it. When I was in Georgia doing the ministry, and I have a guy, his name is James, right? James and his brother, Jaime, right? James and Jaime, the same thing in Spanish. But, you know, they both came to me. They've been in church for like 17 years. They grew up in church. They came to me. And then, Pastor, you know, I rather not call myself as Christian. I believe in all, but I don't follow the teaching of Jesus Christ. So you know what? I'd rather not be called as Christian. So I pray that I hope that you will not refer me as Christian. That's what they told me. And when we had more conversation later, they said, I don't know whether I'm going to hell or heaven. They were confused. You see that? You guys follow me? The people who are not living out their faith. People who are not living out their faith, they are always in the confused state. I think that's what believers are all about. There are a lot of people who say they claim to say that I believe in the name of Jesus Christ, but never act out their faith. And they are naturally will always be confused. Am I saved or not? But at the end, what they're doing is they're confusing themselves because they are not acting out. All they have to do is believe in the name of Jesus Christ and go and leave their faith out. You know, it's very interesting that, you know, the Israelites, after they made Exodus, they have a lot of struggles. If you guys follow the story of the Old Testament, the Israelites were, you know, were slaved by Egyptians. They make it out. And then they make it out, and then finally they are at the border to the Canaanite land. And then their hearts are melted. They send 12 spies. 10 of them come back and say that, you know what? It's great. The land is amazing land. But we are not sure whether we can conquer it or not. Their hearts were melted. But you know, if you fast forward that and you go to the book of Joshua, and you find out that actually the hearts of the Canaanites were melted. That they send two spies now to the wall of Jericho, the city of Jericho. In the Jericho, they meet a lady who said, "Our hearts are melted with fear of the living God. I saw what God has been doing, and He's great God." You see that they both were being feared. You guys follow me? The Israelites, their hearts were being melted with the fear of their enemies. When the enemies were being, their hearts were being melted with the fear of the Lord. And there was Joshua and Caleb who said, "We can go and get it." You know, in Korean translation, it said, "They are our pop." You know, they're like, they're nothing, they're a piece of cake. They're a piece of cake, right? But the rest of Israelites, they cried, they railed, and said, "Wow, we are doomed. It would have been better if we stayed in Egypt." And I feel like that those Israelites who followed Moses out but never actually had faith and willingness to go into the promised land, I feel like they are the believers. And the Joshua and Caleb, they said, "We can go because God is with." I feel like they are we find here in the book of Acts, disciples. They're the ones, they're those who are willing to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and go with it, run with it. You know, church, I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to put down believers. Church, we see that in the book of Acts chapter 5. You know, in church, there has to be the multiplication of believers. People need to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, but we also need to multiply disciples, is what I'm saying. There has to be intentionality there in our faith. Yes, thank you for coming because there Jesus Christ died for you. Yes, and now let us go together. And church needs to be able to suggest now there is this such a way of living. You know, I've been struggling with this week about a couple things. And then, you know, I came to just conclusion that, you know what, we are surrounded by many options. And I feel like that many options can be just summarized into three. Good option, better option, and best option. I think we are all just kind of juggling between the three. What is good? You know, what's better? What is best? You know, what's best for my kids, right? What is better? You know, what's better, you know, way of spending this weekend, right? What is good? You know, I think there we go through that. And then I feel like that, you know, we, as Christians, we have one more option. That is Jesus. Jesus way. And I think that is, those disciples are the ones that, you know what, I have a lot of options, but I will choose the Jesus way. I will choose the way to honor Jesus each and every day. I feel like they are the disciples. You know, also just going back to comparing the number of the number of usage of word believer and disciples in the book of Acts alone. But I think the conclusion is this. Disciples are the ones who carry out the mission of Jesus Christ. Disciples are the one who endure all the sufferings. Disciples are the one who are willing to die for the name of Jesus Christ. Because the believer ends around halfway through the book of Acts, but word disciples goes all the way. All the way. There is clear distinction between the believer and disciples. And John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. You know, I'm going to go there, but before we go there, you know,
Guys, maybe you're already making assumption and conclusion, saying that, you know what, I guess the pastor is talking about, you know, commitment. Maybe he's talking about more passion. I guess maybe he's talking about, you know, do more, read more. I'm not at all. But what I'm talking about here today, as I'm presenting to you the clear distinction between the word believer and the disciple, is that it is about you and God. It's about you and Jesus. That's where I want to get at. So let's go to John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. And this is what Jesus said. Listen to this. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." You guys follow that? "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let me read this again. To the Jews who had believed in the name of Jesus Christ already, Jesus tells them, if you hold to my teaching, if you live out my teachings, right, that you are really my disciples. Guys, the entire Bible is not just about you being saved. Entire Bible is about you now being sanctified and glorified. Bible is not just about you being saved. It's Bible is about you being a disciple of Jesus Christ, becoming the follower of Jesus Christ. We all need to become follower of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, I shared with you my fear. My fear was this. Am I persecuting Jesus? Am I the one who's stopping Jesus? That is the question, the struggle that I had, and I shared with you. I laid out for you. And today, I want to share some challenges. You know, we may not have the same kind of challenges that disciples had. You know, once again, disciples, they're the ones who went through all these persecutions. But today we don't have such persecution, but we have different things here in the States. So let me read this to you. Let's all go to the book of... Maybe I left it behind. Oh, it's here. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. It says this, "For the people will be," this is the end, and as the end of time, "for the people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, obedient, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy." This Bible says that at the end of time, it will be that. And I feel like that we are the generation who are going through that. You know, Pastor John Stott, he wrote the book Radical Disciples, and then I got this from him, and he says there are four challenges that we have as Christians who are living in the 21st century. Four challenges. First one is challenge of pluralism. There are many gods. Challenge of materialism. You know that. Challenge of ethical relativism. And lastly, the challenge of narcissism. You know, narcissism comes from the Greek mythology. There is Narcissus. You know, he's a guy who was handsome. You know, people talk about he was very handsome. And then one day he caught sight of his own image, right, with his own reflection in a pond. And he fell in love with himself in the pond, with his own reflection in the pond. He was looking at it, he was gazing at it, and he fell down, he died, he drowned himself. And then that's where the narcissism comes from. It's about love for self, loving self too much. I feel like that today one of the biggest challenges we have for Christians who are in the 21st century, I feel like that we all have this challenge of our narcissism. You know, he says the John Stott that I read about, he says this. This is very interesting and it's very strange because self-love, it does not make any sense. Because self-love, here in the book of Timothy chapter 3, it talks about agape love, unconditional love, sacrificial love, right? So you are having sacrificial love for your own self. Right? That you're, so he's like, it's just itself, just the concept itself does not make any sense. But then we do have that here today. I think that we live by, and even maybe find yourself loving yourself. Maybe loving yourself more than Jesus Christ. I think that sometimes we just need to get over ourselves. so that we can glory Jesus, we can glorify the name of Jesus Christ, so that we can honor the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we just kind of tell each other, turn to each other, get over yourself.
Get over yourself.
Get over yourself. Right. Yeah, sometimes I feel like we love ourselves too much. And there are many forms. Guys, think about what are the ways. Think about what are the ways that you have come and you have allowed yourself to love yourself more than loving Jesus Christ. People are saying that I need more rest. People are saying that I need my own entertainment. People are saying that I need my own space. People are saying that I need more time for myself. I hear this more and more and more. Me, me, me. Me, 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 me. I wonder if I am getting in the way of following Jesus Christ. I wonder if you are in the path as well. I wonder if all of us are challenged in this area, that we love ourselves too much to follow Jesus Christ. We love ourselves too much to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love ourselves too much to go and share the love of Christ. That we love ourselves too much to sacrifice for Jesus Christ. That we love ourselves too much to go and share. I don't know. I don't know what gets in the way of you kneeling down before Jesus Christ and worshiping with all your heart. I don't know what gets in the way of you going out and sharing the name of Jesus Christ. But if it is you, then get over yourself. We read from the book of Timothy once again. In those days, in the last days, people will become lovers of self. My challenge for you and me today, am I loving myself too much? That I will not have time and place and energy to love God and follow Him. Church is a place where the number of believers must increase, but as well as disciples. If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you so much. And God bless you. But now you have to live the life of a disciple. You must become a disciple. You must now learn to follow Jesus Christ. But if you are stopping yourself, let's question that. Why am I stopping myself from following Jesus Christ? It's great that you have come to believe in the name of Jesus Christ as Savior. But now let us all become the believer of Jesus Christ as our Lord and follow Him. Okay, let's pray.